Welcome to Lesbians Who Write with Claire Lydon and T.B. Markinson. Conversations about writing and lesbian fiction. Join us as we draw back the curtain on the writer's life.
Do you know what episode it is? It's only episode 7. Episode 7 of Lesbians Who Write. Welcome, welcome one, welcome all. My name's Claire Lydon and I'm joined by T.B. Markinson. How are you today, T.B.?
I'm doing pretty well today. How are you, Claire?
I'm doing very well. I wondered if you were still there. It was such a long gap there from how are you. Did I shock you?
Yeah, your intro, it was a bit different. I was like, is she practicing or is she going?
I thought I'd change it up. What do you think?
Confused me. I'm easily confused.
Well, that's good. I like to keep you on your toes. I like to keep our listeners on their toes. So I hope everybody listening, that's you at home, washing up, making a cup of coffee, on your toes, everyone. So welcome, welcome, welcome to episode 7. And today we're going to be talking about what we think of literary festivals and literary awards. That's going to be coming up very soon after we go to our brand new section, which is, a bumper crop of comments this week. Is that right, TB?
Yes, we have quite a few comments we need to get through. So we had some messages on Twitter from Kit Eyre. She listened to 3 episodes earlier and she says she's loving it. Fox Bryson, another lesfic author, is giving us a shout out saying it's well worth a listen. And Carol from Lesbian Reviews says she's having the best time catching up on listening to our podcast episodes. So, A, thanks for commenting on Twitter. We appreciate it.
We certainly
on our actual, yes, on our actual website, we've had quite a few commenters as well, so bear with me, people. I forgot to mention last week, Bethany, she made a nice comment, but she also mentioned that she is working on her first novel and she's realizing how hard writing is. According to her, this writing shit is hard. I agree, it is hard.
I agree, Bethany.
We're cheering you on.
Yeah. I agree too, Bethany. So it is hard, and the bad news is it doesn't get any easier, but keep going. That's our advice.
Yes, we all should be miserable together. And then Donna says she's enjoying our conversation about lesbian fiction. I think she was referring to the first episode where we talked about how not just lesbians can write lesbian fiction, but everyone can write lesbian fiction. She said it made her think a little bit about that. Joanne commented on our change episode saying that she's also going through a major career change, so I'm wishing her the best of luck with her change. And then we had quite a few comments on episode 6. We had Mira, who said she was listening on her walk home and was giggling. So if anyone was looking at her with an odd expression, my apologies. AC said she listened at home, was laughing out loud, and her dog was giving her weird looks. And JB, she says she also enjoys the editing process. She has been going through a rather rigorous process on her own, going through editing with a coach and then going through exercises on the internet for editing. So I appreciate her desire to keep improving. Carmen says Claire has converted her to be a Spurs fan.
Go, Carmen. She's a what, sorry?
American.
Well, there's never been a better time to be a Spurs fan. Unfortunately, that's true, even though we dropped out the top 4 for half an hour. But I'm pleased to say, everyone, I know you'll be wondering about this, we won this week. Yes, Tottenham came out of their 4-game slump to beat Crystal Palace 2-0. So up the Spurs and coys. That's all I've got to say. Coys. That's come on you, Spurs, just in case that you don't understand what that is.
All right, we have one final comment on episode 6, and it's from Yara, who said she understood the comments we get when we tell people we're authors, when we get bold and brazen comments. She teaches golf professionally, and she is quite shocked by the questions she gets, and then the people who want professional advice on the spot without actually hiring her.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, as we were saying last episode, we get a lot of very strange comments when we tell people what we do. So we totally get that, Yara. And big up to you for teaching golf professionally. That sounds like a very cool job. These people are just jealous. That's it. They all want to play golf all day. I'm rubbish at that. But I had a go at golf the other day at a driving range. And after about 4 swings, I cut my hand and bled all over the club. And that was the end of my golf. So... that was great.
So another career career choice is gone.
I can't follow Yara down the golf teaching route. So I'll have to stick with writing. So that is absolutely terrific. An absolute flood of comments. And we absolutely love getting your comments. They really do make our day. And they make it, they make it worthwhile. And it's lovely to hear that our episodes are touching people and connecting with people. And that's why we started this podcast in the first place. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And do carry on commenting. We love a comment and we'll give you a shout out. And, you know, what more is there to want in life than a shout out on Lesbians Who Write?
We'll make you famous, people.
Right. So let's get on to our week. How's your week been so far, TB? What you been up to work-wise and otherwise?
Well, to be honest, my week's been quite shitty. I've had not the best week.
Well, can I just say thank you for saying the word shitty? Let's say it again, shitty. Because my wife listened through all the episodes last night and she told me that we've got an explicit tag, but we've got a severe lack of swearing. So well done for saying shitty. And we're going to try and swear a bit more this episode, aren't we?
Yes, that's our goal, people.
Yes, we fucking are.
Yep. No, I started off... Over the weekend, my computer decided to just uninstall all my Microsoft apps. Ooh. So I wasn't able to open any Word docs, any Excel, anything.
Excellent.
Which was kind of a scary moment for a second since I just started our book in the Cotswold series. And I was like, uh-oh. I had like 25K on the document. And I was like, I don't know where it is. I can't open it. By midnight on Saturday, I figured out how to reinstall everything, so I was able to recover. So that was not a good start to the week. And then last night, I had to go to my accountant because I'm doing my U.S. taxes. And let's be honest, anything that has to do with taxes just puts you in a bad mood, just no matter what. Sorry to all the accountants out there. I'm sure it's a lovely field to be in.
I was talking today with my PT at the gym, and we were saying that, I don't know if you had this in America, but in the UK, in GCSEs, some subjects that you weren't that brilliant in, you could only get a certain level. So in my GCSE exam, which we do at age 16, in maths, I was in the second group. So the highest grade I could get was a C, and that was enough to pass it. And I couldn't go any higher than that. And they realised at a very young age that I am challenged in maths. And so I was completely taken out of the A and B stream. And she said, and my PT said that happened to her with English.
Really?
Yeah. You know, if they hadn't taken me out of the A and B stream, I could be an accountant by now.
It could be. And that seems very limiting. Like, no, you can only go this high. I mean, in high school, I actually, oddly enough, since I just bashed accounting, but I was considering it as a career choice for a while. And I took a couple accounting courses in high school and I really liked it. And then history started calling and I ended up going to history, which was not the best career choice because, you know, you don't really get paid much doing history.
Mm. And you get paid quite a lot.
You probably get paid a lot more doing accounting.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You get paid a lot doing accounting. So you should have stuck with it, you know. Spreadsheets can be your friend. Yeah, they put me in the C is the limit group for science as well. So maths and science, we weren't mates.
Well, I wasn't the best at math, but accounting, I really struggled with like geometry and physics and stuff like that. Accounting, I actually liked it because it made sense to me. I need things to make sense.
I didn't like science because it involved fire, and I'm not very good with fire. I don't build campfires now. I'm a terrible outdoors lesbian. I don't like camping. I don't like open fires. I like the warmth they provide, but I don't like getting them going. I like food cooked on open fires, but don't ask me to do
it. Yeah, so, same with fire. I hate fire. I've never lit a grill. Yeah, we're both really bad lesbians.
We're both terrible lesbians. And the most important question, did you get your manuscript back? Or have you got to start all over again?
I have Microsoft Office is back on the laptop. Ooh. I now have figured out if that happens again. It was actually after I spent a lot of time Googling, and there was quite a bit of swearing. And I have this little squishy ball that I throw at the wall when I'm really frustrated. So there was a lot of... I'm sure my neighbor's like, whoa, what's going on downstairs? The computer's back. It's behaving.
Good. I'm pleased that the computer's back and that you're back. Yes. And how is the book going that we're all going to be? No, we're not all going to be writing your book, but we're all going to be writing in the same series. You're writing the first one. How's it going?
I'm nearing the halfway point, so it's getting to that point where I'm like, the halfway point for me in the book is always kind of the tricky spot, because then you really start questioning what you've written and questioning the direction you're going. It's always, there's a lot of ice cream involved right now, lot of ice cream people.
Okay. What's your favorite ice cream flavor? Is the one that you're going for in times of stress?
Mint chocolate chip.
Oh, you know.
Is that a no for you?
I mean, that's a no from me. There are mint chocolate chip cornettos in our freezer, and my wife knows that I'm never going to eat them because it's a no from me. So
how do you not like mint chocolate chip?
I don't.
So refreshing.
No, I'm not. At a push, I'll eat an after eight. Yeah, I'm not really a fan of mint or orange. flavoured chocolate. I was going to say flavoured chocolate, but that's not true. I like caramel flavoured chocolate, but mint, orange, all that sort of malarkey, not for me.
Ooh, I love orange chocolate.
There you go.
This is the good news. We'd never have to share ice cream.
Yeah, or chocolate, so it's fine. Come on over when I've got some, you probably eat caramel chocolate, don't you, anyway?
I do.
Yeah, you're never coming over when I've got salted caramel puddles from Hotel Chocolat.
Oh, you're just mean now. Mean.
So you're at the soggy, saggy middle part of the book.
Yeah.
Are you going to be doing anything to work your way out of it?
My philosophy when I get into this mood is sit my ass in the chair and keep going.
A good philosophy. And have you planned out the rest of the book? Do you know where it's going? Or I don't know if you're a plotter or a pantser. We haven't discussed this yet.
I've plotted more than normal on this book. So I have a really good idea where it's going to go. So we'll see if I can get it to that point.
Right. Okay. That was vague and cryptic. But I have faith in you.
Well, I don't want to scare you.
What she wanted to say was, I've no fucking idea where it's going, but I'll get there.
Where's the ice cream?
Yeah. Where's the ice cream? Where's the whiskey? Apparently whiskey goes well with ice cream, but I'm not sure. Do you know what I really hate with ice cream as well? Hot drinks. Do you do hot drinks and ice cream?
No, I don't. It doesn't mingle on my tongue very well.
No, you see, I'm glad that we're agreeing on this because...
on this one topic.
This one topic. It's the only thing we've agreed on so far. Yeah, because when I go and visit my friend in Oxford, she always takes me to a cafe and she always orders like a coffee and then some ice cream. And I did it when I was there with her a couple of times ago because I thought, well, maybe I'm wrong on this. No, I wasn't wrong. It's just weird. Not together.
Yeah.
Anything else you've been up to this week?
Well, I did have one shining spot for the week. Last weekend, it was absolutely beautiful in Massachusetts. And I was able to go for a nice long walk in shorts and a t-shirt.
Wow.
Hello, spring is on its way. Of course, today it's another shitty day outside. Sorry, I'm just trying. Your wife, really, she got in my head. I'm just going to say shitty about everything. I'm back in the hoodie and flannel pajama pants because I have to have pajama pants on.
Yes, no, it's similar weather here, actually, in London. There were people walking around in shorts at the end of March, and now it's back to cold.
What about you? How's your week been?
My week was pretty good up until today when I went to the gym, had a personal training session as I am in my march to bikini body. I knackered my shoulder, basically. I was doing some flies. And that involves lying down on the bench and drawing your arms up. It's kind of chesty, shouldery. Anyway, I did it with 6 kg weights, and I've never done that before. Probably won't be doing it again in a hurry, got to say.
You're looking a bit stiff. You keep moving the arm like you're wanting to see if it's still connected.
Yeah. I keep thinking, is it connected? You know, like when you move your shoulder and you hear that little pop noise, or you can feel it. Pop, pop.
What do you mean, pop? Your shoulder's popping, an actual pop?
Yeah, it's not good. So I'm hoping...
This is why I don't go to the gym, people.
I've put a load of deep heat on it, and I'm hoping that it will sort itself out. My trainer seemed to think it would. But she did then send me her number and ask me how it was going. So that made me worry a little bit. this week I also did that thing that I tend to do when I'm running. So I was running in the gym this week. And I did this thing where I I slammed the emergency stop button by accident with a flailing arm, and then the treadmill stops, and then I'm nearly thrown backwards off it. So all in all, a great exercise week in Clareland. Clareland, that's something I've just coined, in Clareland. So exercise is bad for you. That's my takeaway for the week.
Yes, she's changed her tune completely. She has been saying how great she's been feeling, and all of a sudden it hurts.
That was my exercise week. I did get some free socks this week, so that was very exciting, from the lovely people at Findaway Voices, who do audiobook production. And we met Will from Findaway Voices at the London Book Fair, and he was very lovely, and he sent me some socks. So hi, Will, if you're listening. I know you will be.
Thanks for the socks.
Yeah, and the badges and the stickers. I put some stickers on my...
I'm kind of disappointed. I didn't get anything because I left the London Book Fair a day early.
Oh, you see.
This is what happens when you don't stick it out.
Yeah, you got to stick it out, and you've got to have a glass of wine with Will at the Amazon party on the last day, and then you get free socks. Anyway, and then I also, in exciting Cotswold series book news, started writing mine yesterday. So that's exciting. I wrote 684 words yesterday, and I've added on nearly 3,000 today. So that actually feels quite good, because the last fresh first draft words I wrote were in January. So I haven't written any fresh draft words for 2 months, because February was second drafting London Book 6, and then March was getting You're My Kind ready to go. So it feels quite good to get some first draft new words out. I haven't plotted anything yet, so I've just been writing into the void. But that's all right. I've got a couple of good scenes going on, and they're workable. So we'll see. We'll see where it goes.
I'm excited to see where it's going, because I need a sneak peek of that, people.
But it is always exciting, isn't it, when you start a new book? It's exciting, but a bit nervy as well. And there
it
was...
Go on. Yeah, it's exciting, and you also have that, like, oh, I hope I can pull this off. And then you hit the middle where you just eat ice cream.
Not mint choc chip, though. My favourite ice cream is either coconut or honeycomb. Imagine if they made a coconut honeycomb ice cream. That would be awesome. But
isn't your character going to be an ice cream person? Can you create this flavor
God,
it will actually come out into the world?
I can. Oh my God, that's a great... We are live brainstorming, everyone, on the podcast. I can. I'm going to have her make a coconut and honeycomb. I'm writing it down. Coconut and honeycomb ice cream. And then
I would eat that one.
Yeah, and then maybe somebody will, you know, hear it. There's a restaurant in London called Jay Shiki, which my wife and I like to frequent. It's a seafood restaurant, and it's a bit fancy. And I mostly like eating at the bar there, because they've got a posh bar and it's nice. You can chat to the bar staff. But they do for a dessert. It's very simple but very effective. Homemade honeycomb ice cream with hot chocolate sauce. Oh, it is one of those moments that you have. So maybe I'll have to put that.
Have you haven't taken me to this place?
I don't know, because I didn't think you wouldn't appreciate it, because you're a mint choc chip eater.
You just found that out. You're lying.
Next time you come back to London, I'll take you to Jay Shiki. We can have a prawn and crayfish burger, and then some honeycomb ice cream with hot chocolate sauce.
All right. I'm writing this down.
It's a promise. But yeah, I have also gone through that thing, because this is what I tend to do at the start of books. I tend to write for a bit, and that normally takes me up to maybe about 10,000 words. And then I think, I don't actually know where this is going. And then I have to plot it out. And at that point I think, oh, is everything I've done rubbish, and can I write, and should I just give up? So I'm looking forward to that. That's in about 3 days.
Yes. All right. We'll check in about 3 days. Cause yeah, it's the roller coaster of emotions from before you start a project until you actually publish a project. I mean, it really does your head in completely. Cause I mean, there are days within the 5 minute period I can have such highs and lows, and you're just, it's hard to know. Hard to know. And then you don't really know until after you release it and you start getting the first reviews, where you're like, oh, well, they like it, or uh-oh.
Shall we crack on to this week's big question, if I can say the word? What do we think of literary festivals and awards?
Well, I'm one of those those classic authors where I spend most of the time locked up in my own office and writing, and it's only last year where I started venturing out into the big wide world of literary festivals. I went to a whopping two last year. Mm-hmm. I attended a Bold Strokes book event in Nottingham in Britain, and that was my first experience with a literary festival. Side fact, when I was there, because being the history person I am, I was doing some research on history stuff I could do. So I went to the castle, and I didn't know Robin Hood was tied to Nottingham. It wasn't until I saw like the third statue where I was like, is there a connection?
Yeah, that's pretty common knowledge, I think, here. But you are American, so it wouldn't have been obvious to you. But yes, he is from Nottingham.
It was like the history degree may have helped me a bit. I did feel like a complete numpty, I'll be honest. I stood there, I was like, you're an idiot.
Was it Kevin Costner who played him in the movie? You need
in one of the movies, yeah. Right. I was more of a Men in Tights fan, but hey.
Right. You need a Kevin running around Nottingham. Then you'd know.
Yeah, they should just hire Kevin Costner so all of us Americans will know where we are.
Exactly.
What the connection is.
Yeah.
Last year in August, you and I attended ElCon together. We were actually on a panel.
Before we
I think it was at that ElCon event where you turned to me at the bar and said, you know, we should start a podcast.
Oh, was it? Historic ElCon. Was. There you go.
Yeah. So, and that was an event in Bristol for people who don't know. And ElCon stands for European Lesbic Literary Conference. And it was the first ElCon. And they're not doing it this year, if I remember correctly. So hopefully it will come back because it was a fun event. But it's one of those where a lot of authors were signed up for different panels and we had a chance to chat. I was on two panels, one about the importance of reading and being a writer, and another one that you and I were on for cooperation. But it was an interesting experience. It was my first time speaking on a panel, so I was a little bit nervous. What about you?
Yeah, I've been to quite a few different ones. I haven't been to the Bold Strokes one. That takes place every year in Nottingham, so it's quite a established fixture on the lesfic calendar. But you know, yes. So thus far there hasn't really been that much on the lesfic calendar, but that is changing, at least in the UK. I mean, I know there's more in the US calendar with the Golden Crown Literary Society conference. Yes. That takes place every July, and it changes places all around the US. I haven't been to that, but I go to London Book Fair every year. That's not so much a literary festival, but it's a book fair, as the name suggests. I went to ElCon and I went to Diva Literary Festival. Its inaugural one was in 2017. And again, it was meant to take place in this year and then they cancelled it. So they're not, in the UK at least, they're not a regular thing. And that's more's the pity. But I find them generally very good things to go to just to meet other authors and meet readers.
Yes.
So those two things, you can make connections with people and start podcasts with people.
Absolutely. Networking.
And it's really, really lovely always to meet readers as well. So those two things, I think it's good to go to. And it can also be good for inspiration, going along to talks and panels. I went along to a crime writing festival in London. A friend of mine had a ticket and she couldn't go. And, you know, the tickets were quite expensive. They were like 60 quid each. So she asked me if I wanted to have it. And I wouldn't have gone otherwise. But that was really interesting because Martina Cole was doing a talk. Paula Hawkins, who wrote Girl on a Train, was being interviewed. The bloke who wrote, I think, what's that one? Oh, While You Were Sleeping? Something like that. But there were a lot of big books that had been made into movies and the writers were there. So I found that really interesting, just hearing people from a different genre speak. So generally, I think they're fun, but they are exhausting as well.
They are.
Because most writers are introverts, not all, but most. And that doesn't mean we hate people. It just means that being around lots of people all the time depletes our batteries. And after after spending going to the Cotswolds with you and Harper Bliss and her missus, and then straight onto the London Book Fair right after, I think we were all a bit broken after that, because that's 5 days of being totally on. So we had to wind our batteries down. But generally, I think that they're worthwhile going to meet other people.
Absolutely. And after listening to you, I realized I just lied when I said I've only been to two, because I had gone to London Book Fair on many occasions, and I just totally spaced that, which is odd because I'm actually working on a blog post for my author website that's all about the London Book Fair.
And what did you do last month, TB? Did you go anywhere?
The London Book Fair.
really stuck in your mind there. Nice. Yeah. But you are going to go to a few things this year, aren't you?
Yeah, I have a busy season coming up since I've now decided to go to more besides the London Book Fair, which was every year since 2012. But hey, whatever. At the end of this month, in April, I'm going to the New England chapter of RWA conference. If there are any readers who are going to be near the Burlington, Massachusetts area on April 26th, there is a free author signing. Over 50 authors are going to be in attendance, including myself and Miranda McLeod, who also writes lesfic. And so it's free to the public, so stop on by. I'll have books and everything. And then in July, I am going to my very first Golden Crown Literary Society conference. And that's going to be in Pittsburgh. I'm a virgin con, so I don't know, or a convergin. I think I got that backwards.
You're a virgin con. That sounds like you're in like the King Kong movie or something. Yeah. I am a virgin con.
So that should be a good experience. And the keynote speaker of that one is going to be Melinda Lowe, who released Ash, which was a big success for her. That was a lesbian retelling of Cinderella. I can't remember. I think it was back, way back in a different time period, 2007 maybe. You know, many years ago.
Way back. I was only 12. I was only 12.
Yeah. I wasn't around yet. So, and then there's also going to be Cindy Rizzo, who's going to be speaking. She's a lesbian author, and I've read one of her books, Exception to the Rule, so I'm excited to listen to her speak.
Yeah, she's a friend, Cindy Rizzo. She helped me out with my very first novel. She was one of my very early readers. So she's very lovely, and she's come over to the UK, and we've actually gone to Elfest together, which again is another lesbian arts and culture festival, which I completely forgot about.
We're really good at this.
So we did prepare everyone. And Cindy and my wife and I picked her up from King's Cross Station in London, and we gave her a lift up to wherever this was. It was in the Midlands somewhere, Uttoxeter. Cindy and I discovered that we were both huge Indigo Girls fans, and then we continued to sing Indigo Girls in the car to my wife for, what? You know, quite a good few songs. So, you know, we're tight.
I also know that Miranda McLeod is a huge fan of the Indigo Girls, so you guys should go on a road trip.
We should all go on a road trip.
To sing the entire time.
Imagine, the whole of the first two albums. I've actually just booked tickets to see them in the UK in October. So does that raise my lesbian points now? You know, because I can't make a fire or camp, but I have booked tickets to see the Indigo Girls.
There you go. Does it help our lesbian points as well that we rented a minivan to drive to the Cotswolds?
Oh, I think it does. Yeah, definitely. The lesbic minivan. Stuff of legend.
Yeah, you can't get more lesbian than that, right? I think we're back in good grace as
we're
lesbians.
We're back in the green. We were in the red for a while.
Just don't ask us to start a campfire for survival. And then my final event that I have actually booked is in the RWA, the National Conference in New York City in the latter part of July. So that is another event. I am doing an author signing at that event. I've agreed to bring 48 books. I don't know why they chose 48, but I've agreed to bring 48 books to sign and give away. But unfortunately, unlike the national chapter, you have to be a conference attendee. And I think the tickets are kind of pricey, but I'm not sure if there's day tickets available. So I will look into that more and announce it closer to the date.
Okay.
And you, are you conquering literary festivals this year?
I am going to be appearing at the Happy Valley Pride in Hebden Bridge. I've just booked my hotel today. So that's going to be with Claire Ashton, Jodie Clare, Jen Silver, and I think one or two others, but I can't remember off the top of my head. But it's on July the 27th in Hebden Bridge. Which is lesbian mecca. You know, it used to be Brighton, but it's now Hebden Bridge, apparently. So,
Is it?
Yeah, I'm reliably told. And Hebden Bridge is up north near Manchester. I might go out in Manchester afterwards as well. But apparently there's quite a good pride there, and it's quite well attended. And this is going to be in a theatre, these readings that hold about 100. And apparently they have been well attended in the past. So I'm hoping that happens. So do come along. I will have books, and I'm happy to sign anything you like.
Are you giving away 48 copies?
No, I'm not. I have done that in the past, though, you know. With my first book, I gave away 70 copies to London Pride, and they gave them out around London Pride. So if you are one of the lucky recipients of that, let me know. Because you don't know where your free books end up, do you? But I hope
drop us a comment. Let us know.
Yeah, I hope they all went to...
Where old Claire's books went to.
I hope they all went to happy homes and were well loved.
Where in the world are Claire's books?
Well, let's talk about awards as well, because with awards, I'm a little bit torn, I have to say, because I have entered awards when I first started out in the writing arena, because I just thought that's what you did. So I entered for the Golden Crown Literary Awards, and I think that's the only one I entered, actually. I'm not a very big enterer, clearly. But you can enter for the Lammies or some other ones, probably. Oh, no, Diva, that's the other one I entered, again, because, you know, everybody else was. And I just find it stressful and not enjoyable. And I remember I remember hearing on a podcast, don't worry about awards, because you should only be in them if you want to be. And I believe that. So actually, I don't want to be anymore. So I don't. And I remember Jeanette Winston talking about them. And she said that, you know, awards are just one person's opinion. So why would you just place so much on one person's opinion? A bit like a review, I suppose, as well. The awards that I want are, like, you know, happy feedback from readers. I know that sounds trite as well, yes, but it's true. And I also think that some of these awards are just to make money, because you have to pay to enter the awards. They are also, some of them, well, let's just say they choose the same people every year. are we allowed to say that?
I view them kind of a bit as like a popularity contest on certain levels. When I was in high school, like, you were supposed to care about popularity, but I was one of those odd people who just never really cared to be in the popular group. And so I think I've carried that personality type of, or trait of mine, through my adult life. And so I've never even entered my books into awards, because I just think, like you said earlier, and I think you said it perfectly, readers matter to me, not putting in a fancy little label or a sticker on the cover of my book saying I've won this award. If the readers like it, I'm happy.
Totally. There are some awards where you have to ask your readers to vote for you, and I find that very awkward. I know I've read Amanda Palmer's book, The Art of Asking. I understand that you can ask people for things, and they are happy to help you. And I'm always really, really grateful when people do it. But I don't like to ask too often. And I have asked people to vote for me, to get me shortlisted on things. I always find it awkward. So
it is awkward.
Yeah.
It is awkward. And I haven't read Amanda Palmer's book, but I did watch her TED talk about this. Mm-hmm. And side note, I'm seeing her in concert in Boston later this month, so I'm excited about that.
I think that's some lesbian points as well, isn't it? Indigo Girls.
Do I get more points on that? Yes.
I'm
stacking them up. I at least have two.
Yeah.
It's hard to ask, because every time we do a book release, we're asking for reviews. Every time we release a podcast episode, we're asking for people to, you know, subscribe and review. And I feel like it just gets to be too much. And this is the one area I'm okay letting slide. Now, this doesn't mean that if you have won an award, I'm not bashing awards. It's just not my personality type.
Yeah, and I think it took me a little while to realise as well that it's not really mine. I'm so much happier not entering them.
Yes, and it is another stressful thing. And then, like, if you don't get picked, it's kind of like, well, why did they not pick me? I mean, you're just setting yourself up for really more ice cream. You just have to eat a lot more ice cream. And then I have to do the elliptical a lot more, and I don't like the elliptical.
Yeah.
bad life decision.
It's a bad cycle. I am just a lot happier now. As I said, when I first started out, I did enter awards. And would I feel differently if I'd won one? I don't think I would, you know. I have won an award once, and it was for my karaoke singing. And you know, frankly, I didn't need that award to tell me I'm a great karaoke singer. So, you know...
Can you give us a sample? What did you sing?
I think at that point, my pièce de résistance was probably Johnny B. Goode or something like that. I was about 17. It was in a nightclub, and it was voted for by an audience crowd. So, you know,
really?
I won people over, clearly. It was like an early version of The Voice.
Oh, and is this something you put on your CV now?
Yeah.
Is it in your author bio that you have a karaoke award?
I did also win a trophy for playing darts, so, you know, and that was when I was 15. So, well, I had a great teenage years of trophies and awards. Would I feel different?
I think darts also gives you more lesbian points.
That's probably true, isn't it? Yeah, probably yes. True. But no, I don't think I would. I just don't think. Yeah, it took me quite a while to realise it's not my personality type. And again, well done to everyone who's won one. You know, I am really, honestly happy for people who want to win them. And I know quite a lot of people who've won Goldie Awards, which are like the Oscars of lesbian fiction.
They are.
And I think that's great, but I never enter them. So it's a bit like the lottery. I'm not going to win one.
Yes, I've never entered, at least not to my knowledge, but apparently I don't remember going to the London Book Fair. So I have not entered.
Yeah, I think sort of the personality type, my mum and all my sisters used to go to bingo every Sunday night at the local social club. And I used to get stressed going to bingo and doing a bingo card. And some of them used to do like 5 cards at once. I would get stressed doing one. And if I got to like close to a line or a full house, my God, the stress. And then if I had to actually shout out line or full house, I would break out into full blown anxiety, because that sort of thing, it doesn't sit well with me. And I think it's kind of like that with awards.
So you're... childhood bingo experiences have scarred you so much that you just are giving up on awards.
Yep, that's it.
All right.
Yeah. I think we can end it there.
Well, the things that our parents do to us when we're children, they just don't realize the damage they're doing.
I know, right? And, you know, and it was very a sexist sort of gendered thing, because the women would go and play bingo, and then the men would go into the back room and play pool. And and I was in my day a very shit hot, there you go, a bit more swearing, shit hot pool player. I'm not that good anymore because I haven't done it for a while. But I should have been in the pool, shouldn't I? Much more suited.
Yes.
So there you go. That was requested as a question, Literary Awards and Events, by Gabby. So thank you very much for the question.
And for others, if you have a question you want Claire and I to discuss, let us know in the comments and we will be more than happy to oblige. Depending on your question, yeah. There's some things we can't talk about. We've proved we don't know how to light a campfire.
And, you know, if your question was going to be about what's our favorite ice cream flavor, it's already been done, everyone. I know. The world was on tenterhooks with that one. Next week, we're going to be discussing how we launched our first book and how our launch process has changed since then. So tune in then. Thank you for listening and see you next week.
Thanks so much, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Lesbians Who Write. Listen in every week for more conversations on writing and lesbian fiction. And you can make sure you never miss an episode by signing up to our newsletter at lesbianswhowrite.com. Also, if you could take a moment to leave a review wherever you listen to this podcast, it would help more people to discover us. Thanks so much and see you next time.